attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. And we are open to serve you and help you and answer your legal questions and get you pointed in the right direction. And all you have to do is to call the toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. We're also streaming live on Facebook Live if you want to tune in to that. We're streaming live, so you can find Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Ask an Attorney is the name of the stream there, and you can join us, and you can watch. You can watch me answer your question if you want to, or you can just watch the show. We stream live every week on Facebook Live. You can join up with Ask an Attorney. We can join up on that if you like. We have a page, Ask an Attorney. We have a page, Law Offices of Joseph Pippin. And, of course, I have my personal page. And I would be more than glad to link up with you. We're also on LinkedIn. We also have a YouTube channel of some of the videos, some of the television shows and radio shows we filmed. But anyway, if you would like to call the show, it's a live show, longest running show in Florida, 35 years, Ask an Attorney. Same format, same host. The format is just you call in and ask legal questions. We talk about legal issues. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Phil. Calling from, where are you calling from, Phil?
I'm calling from Crystal River. Good morning. Good morning.
Crystal River.
I have a question about, yes, Crystal River.
Very good.
There by the manatee, where the manatees are swimming.
Yes, sir.
Yahoo lawsuits. When do I have time, or do I have to fill all that stuff out? I had Yahoo for, I don't know, since 2000, you know, and I had about, I don't know, six websites, and then I got rid of it all, but just this past couple years ago. But I hear that there's still some lawsuits that you can collect money from Yahoo if you had websites through Yahoo. Are you aware of that?
No, but I could probably refer you to someone that would do that type of law.
I hope it's not. I don't know. You what? Know, I'm a senior, so we don't know a lot of these things.
What now?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yahoo has a thing out that...
Okay, but hey, Phil, if you can, I'll give you my email address. If you want to send me an email, I'll give you a referral of an attorney that might be able to take that type of case.
And then my last question is, with Disney, $100 to go get a ticket, but then when you get there, they say that you have to press a button so you can ride that Star Wars ride. Isn't that a lawsuit waiting to happen? That's my question about Disney.
Press a button? So I'm not.
Yeah, like, you know, you got to pay $200 to get a ticket, but that doesn't entitle you to ride the Star Wars ride. You gotta go through there, whatever, and get there early to press some button so you can hopefully ride the Star Wars ride after you pay $200.
I see. Well,
I don't know.
I don't know. You buy what you buy, and you should know what you're buying when you buy it. So if you're not buying a pass to do everything in the park, there are probably a few exceptions. But if you want to contact me, I'll give out my email address here shortly, and thanks for calling. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin. Ask an Attorney. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. And that was, I guess that was Bill in Crystal River. Did we have a Phil? Phil, are you there? All right. So I guess we had a Phil from Orange Park, I believe, calling. And then we had Bill on Crystal River. First name on my screen was Bill. But anyway, I guess phone lines are open right now. So if you have a legal question, can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, family law, give us a call. It can be just about any area of law. And the toll-free number is 877-943-9673. Let's go to Kathleen in St. Petersburg.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good. Okay. So this is ironic. I have been looking for a lawyer, and I'm a senior citizen. I didn't even know how to find lawyers. You know, it's like a big mystery. Everybody is really more or less injury lawyers. And the thing is, this goes back.
Well, the ones that advertise the most, I would say, agree with you, are injury attorneys. But anyway, what kind of attorney are you looking for?
This has nothing to do with injury. So this goes back 50-some years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking it's already maybe, you know, statute of limitations is over. But so I was 18 in college, and everybody drinks in college, right? And all that. Anyway, I came in drunk to the place. And so the next day I found myself on a plane, kicked out of college for coming in drunk. I went to a forum recently at a college locally in around St. Pete, and they were saying that I didn't have counseling. I didn't know what was happening. I was just, you know, I had to send home terribly, you know. So they said now they have counseling. Nobody gets kicked out for whatever. And they said at this college at least 10 times a month, people go, they're taken to the emergency room for overdoses. Mm-hmm. And then they stay in the school, you know. So I was wondering, I called them about it, you know, I mean, this is so the college, and they just blew me off, you know.
Hold on. What was your question? Sure. Whether you have a cause of action, legal cause of action?
So I'm wondering if I have a case that I wasn't given any counseling, you know, I wasn't given a second chance. This is my first, you know, sort of offense. Mm-hmm.
Kathleen, if it happened 50 years ago, I think, no, I don't think you have any cause of action now.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right.
Actually, today is my 49th year of anniversary, so that could have, I've been sober 49 years. I did find out, you know, when I was 25 that mm-hmm. I couldn't handle, so I was constantly blacking out. So I celebrated last night.
Well, happy, anyway, I'm glad for you.
Thank you so much.
Very happy that you got it all straightened out, but I don't think you can go back 50 years. Okay, all right, thanks.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, let's go to Don calling. Don, where are you calling from?
Good morning.
Atlantic Beach?
Atlantic Beach.
Okay, what can I do for you?
Well, here's what's going on. We just just report our driveway in Atlantic Beach, and we live on a cul-de-sac,
mm-hmm.
and it was, you know, very expensive. And right after we had the work done, the disposal truck it's not the city's truck, they contracted out. They keep running over my driveway when they make the circle. And it's cracking my cement, my concrete. So I called them out, and they took a look at it and said that they would use some kind of caulking for the cracks, and I told them that wouldn't be enough. I wanted them to replace the cracked concrete because it's starting to come apart now. So I guess my question to you is, I'm going to have to take them to small claims court. And should I name the city in the lawsuit or just the company that has the contract?
Well, so when you bought, when you did this done, you had a contract, right? You signed a contract with a new repaving company.
Yeah.
Okay. And does the contract say anything about the thickness of the concrete and the quality of the concrete and give you guarantees?
Not really, but, you know, we had to get a permit, and they're required to go 6 inches in the easement portion down to where the concrete meets the road.
And how much would the small claims...
It's probably only going to be, if I'm guessing, $500 or $600 to repair it.
Okay. Well, I would think to prove your case that the product that you received, I mean, it's obvious you see cracks, but to prove your case, you're going to have some other concrete specialist come in and be able to sign an affidavit or something that the quality of the work didn't meet the standards of the work that should have been provided in the industry. So if you, I don't think you can just take a picture of your damages and go into small claims court and have a high rate of success on a case. So I think I have a little proof that the work product was not up to the standards of the normal job that would have been done.
Well, see, I think I'm not sure if my arguments with the waste company, because that truck, I mean, I don't know how much that truck weighs, but they drive over the drive where it cracked. You can clearly tell it was from that big truck.
Do they drive on everybody's driveway?
No, just as luck would have it, I'm at the end of the cul-de-sac, and when they make the turn around the circle, the driver cuts over my driveway.
And that service is owned by the city? Service is not a private company. Right, okay.
Yeah. No, it's the disposal company is a private company. That city contracts out to them to do the recycled.
Well, usually when you get a lawsuit question like that, the answer is to name everybody in the suit. However, for a $500 or $600 claim, it's going to be extremely difficult to get tied up within the city to make them responsible. What I think I would probably do if I were you is, since you want to pursue this, is to send certified letters out to all of the parties telling them your damage is $500. And you have talked to an attorney, which you have now, actually, about a small claim suit to recover your damages. And you would like to settle with the responsible parties, and you give them 10 days to reply to your certified mail. At least have something in writing as to where each of those people stand about your concern there and your problem. And, you know, the city's probably, do that first. Give them a 10-day, just tell them, don't tell them absolutely you're filing a small claim suit. Tell them you've talked to an attorney, you'd like to resolve this, and you don't state too much in your cause of action, but your thinking is, well, the driveway product was inferior, not up to standards, so you might have to prove that. The disposal truck should not have been on the city and on your driveway. A heavy truck like that on a private driveway could crush sprinkler heads, could come off a little bit. You know, my sprinkler heads are right at the end of my driveway, so some big truck rolls in there, they're going to crunch those. So you have the right to protect your privacy, but, you know, I don't think you'd probably want to sue all three, so hopefully somebody will bite and own up and take responsibility not to have to go through this hassle.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, if all three parties balk and go, no, it's not, you know, we're not going to accept responsibility, who would I want to name if I did follow up with a small claims?
Well, I think if you could get another concrete specialist to sign an affidavit that the work product was inferior and was, you know, done improperly, and you got a defective product that couldn't hold up to weight of vehicles coming on your driveway. I don't know. I'm just thinking your best cause of action could be against the driveway company. But on the other hand, you know, a 15,000-pound vehicle, I don't know how much those things weigh, but I know my Escalade weighs 6,000 pounds, so I'm thinking one of those big trucks could weigh 15, 20,000 pounds. I don't know. But you
probably
know,
at least.
Yeah. So I don't think they should have been on your driveway. So the lawsuit would probably be against the city and the private company and the person who did the work on your driveway. So okay. You'd probably name all three just and let them work it out.
Okay.
But, you know, that's a big deal. That would be a big deal in small claims court. And, you know, some of those sides are going to have attorneys to defend them. So you're going to maybe be sorry you spent time getting yourself tangled up and all that. But I understand you want it fixed. So.
Yeah, I just want it fixed. I've got photos of the damage. I mean, it's pretty clear. I mean, I really have nothing to lose.
Yeah. Okay. That's what small claims court is
okay,
for.
Okay, well, look. Well, thank you for the advice.
All right, thank you. Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call. I'll do my best. Some of these questions I get are not exactly in my practice area, but, you know, I've been around a long time and had a radio show for a long time and had other expert guests on my real show, and I've had some, I don't think there's anything I really haven't been totally asked yet that's totally new. So I really do my best and try to give you the best response I can and at least get you pointed in the right direction. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Toll-free, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we're here to help as many people as we can today. Hey, if you're listening, we're broadcasting today live in Jacksonville. And we're on 14 stations, really more than that. Some of the stations have AM and FM components. And some of those stations have multiple FM components. So, I don't know. We're on over 20 radio stations around Florida of Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're broadcasting today live from Jacksonville. And just to let you know, the show, of course, is 8 to 8:50. And in Jacksonville, I'm going to be on for the next 2 hours. I'm going to be on three hours today. I'm going to be on the Howard and Angela Real Estate Show at 9 o'clock in Jacksonville. I'm also going to be on the Van Wee Financial Show at 10. So for those of you in Jacksonville and listening, you can stay tuned for 3 hours, and we'll be talking about all kinds of legal issues and topics, legal, real estate, and financial. But if you have a question here in the remaining time on my show, Ask an Attorney, you have a toll-free number. And lines are open right now at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Be more than glad to take your call. If you would like to receive our free estate planning poster sheet, we have a large poster sheet, 5 estate planning articles on one side, all of our offices around Florida and addresses and phone numbers on the other side. And we have 14 active offices here in Florida. We have several in Pinellas, several in Polk County, several in Hillsborough. We have offices in Pasco, offices here in Jacksonville. And all of those are on the poster sheet as well, as along with phone numbers. If you'd like it, you can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number. The office number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y. PIP.com. That's Joe at ATTYPIP.com. You can text 727-667-3967. All right, let's go to Paul in Seminole. Hey, Paul.
Hey.
Paul, what can I do for you?
Yes, I've been trying to get this question answered for a long time, and I'm not sure. It's probably unusual, but about 10 years ago, I was in an accident. It was really not my fault. And bottom line is, when it came to certain issues about injuries, the ins- insurance company absolutely refused to take care of that. And so now, all these years, I've been suffering. And I don't know what to do about it. I don't know if I can go back after them because of the issues that happened after the fact. It's because there was actually an injury that they absolutely refused. So I don't know. Is there something there or not?
Well, who caused the accident?
Well, somebody stopped in. I was going up on 19 up near Palm Harbor, and some lady came around a U-turn and wobbled over the U-turn because she hit the curb and everything. And then I moved over to the other lane, and then I saw it was all clear. Then I went back to the other lane. All of a sudden, I turned my head. Boom, she was dead stopped. And I didn't realize it at the point. It was that quick. It happened that quick.
Were you charged? Did police come do a police report?
Well, they didn't send me. The police report was simply that I guess they sent me a ticket about 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
I got it in the mail, I think.
Okay, but, so you submitted the claim to your insurance company.
Yes.
And they denied it?
Not my insurance company, the other insurance company, yeah.
Okay, they denied it. And then your insurance company also denied to help you?
Yes.
And it's been 10 years?
Approximately, yes.
Yeah, Paul, unfortunately, I think the statute of limitations have run. And if no lawsuit had been started, then you've lost your right. And plus, it'd be hard to go back 10 years and, you know, to examine you now and figure out the damage this happened 10 years ago and, you know, anything else. A lot of other things could have happened to you during that time or before that time. I don't think there's going to be any way to prove your damages on your health issue. So I don't know. I can't think of any way sitting here where you can make a claim 10 years later.
I see. Okay. Well, it was burning in the back of my head.
Yeah.
I just wondered, you know, if I could possibly, you know, I was embarrassed to ask, first of all, because of all the stuff that goes on with the companies that make you sign forms and this kind of stuff. And all that.
Did you have an attorney look at it for you then, back then?
Yeah. And they said that that's the absolute, whatever, matter of fact, they only covered a third of the injury damages, and they didn't cover all of it, so I was left out in the cold. So that was pretty
well.
Bad.
If you had an attorney too, then you maximized what you could do at the time. So if you didn't get a good result and you had an attorney back then, I think you've lost any chance to appeal all that at this point.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Joe. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Bye.
Phone lines, if you want to call the show, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Jonathan in Sarasota.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you?
Very good. Here's my question. I was formerly a resident of the state of New York. My wife and I are now legal residents of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We have put off preparing a will, et cetera, you know, trusts. Does an attorney have to be licensed in this state to perform those functions for us? Because the only attorneys I know are back where we lived for the last 30 years.
In New York. Well,
yeah. Attorneys here, and that's my question.
Well, there are some attorneys licensed in both states, if you can, you know, find one of those. I would say you would be better off by having a Florida attorney do your Florida documents. Now, when people come in from other states to my office, I review the documents they have, and we discuss with them if they're valid or not. I mean, I have to see them to be able to determine that. And a lot of times, a New York or another state client that comes in and I review their documents, we can do an amendment to the trust to just say now it's governed by Florida law, and a lot of the provisions and everything in that trust would be fine. So it wouldn't be a major automatic, you have to redo everything type of situation. On trust, we can usually amend those. The wills you look at to see how they're witnessed and notarized, and you know, sometimes you can do a codicil or just a change to a will, or just do a new will, depending on what it is. The fee's about the same on those, so most people just do a new will. And your durable power of attorney, healthcare, surrogate, living will documents, of course, should be updated every 3 or 4 years anyway, so they would work much better if you did those in Florida. So I would recommend you find an attorney to give you a free review of your existing documents and to make whatever changes are necessary here in Florida. And you can interview several.
We haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, I know. But you could interview several attorneys and make a decision on which one you would like to do your work for you.
Okay. If you could you have your producer, whatever, give me your I'll give you my contact information. Perhaps we can schedule an appointment.
Yeah. Do you have access to write down my email address?
Yes, I do. Yes, go ahead, please.
This is real simple. It's Joe, Joe.
Yep.
At ATTY, just the abbreviations for attorney, ATTY,
yep.
PIP, those are Paul, the P's like Paul, the first three letters of my last name, Pippin, ATTYPIP.com.
Got it. Thank you
all right,
very much.
Yeah, and we have an office there. Since you asked, we have an office in Lakewood Ranch. It's probably not too far from you.
Oh, yeah, about 15 minutes away.
All right, okay, very good.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, if you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Ron in St. Petersburg.
Joe, how's it going?
Super. Best day ever.
Excellent. Excellent. Hey, you know, I've listened for a while, and you talk about two different kinds of trust. I think a revocable trust and an irrevocable trust. What you know, if someone wanted to set something up, and you know, what would you recommend is you know, what they do first, and then why? You know, what are the different?
Well, let me say that most of the conversations we have here on the radio about trust are revocable trust. And I would say more than 90% of my clients, maybe even more than 95% of my clients, when they do a trust, they do a revocable trust. And the reason why they do a revocable trust is they want to own it, control it, be able to do what they want to with it with no restrictions. If you create an irrevocable trust, which, again, very few clients do, then you don't totally control the assets in the trust. You can't do whatever you want to with the assets in the trust, and you have limited yourself usually to income and maybe an invasion for some particular reason of the principal. So most all of the conversations we have on the show are about revocable trust. You can amend, change, revoke, put whatever you want to in it, take whatever you want to out of it, and there are no restrictions on you. That you and the trust are the same entity.
And that trust provides you what protection?
The main benefits of a revocable trust are it provides no probate upon death of any assets in the trust, a guardianship plan for you if you become incapacitated before death, quicker, easier administration of the assets upon death, and a trust is a totally private document. Now, if you told me your sole purpose in wanting to create a trust, all those things are great, but what I really want to do is protect myself and asset protection planning, then an irrevocable trust might be the answer, because you have given the assets away to an irrevocable trust, so you're no longer the owner. So if somebody sues you, they couldn't get to those assets in that trust. But if you are mainly interested in asset protection, there's a whole nother discussion to have about that, because your homestead's exempt from creditors and lawsuits, your insurance, annuities, Social Security, retirement accounts are exempt also. So then it determines, well, what do you have that's up there for grabs for a creditor, and then how to deal with that, and what some of the other options are.
Excellent. So, Joe, I've got your number, and we'll get the wife, and we'll come in and see you to set up, I would imagine, the revocable trust, and then, you know, we could possibly talk about the other as well.
Well, great.
You know, and then, you know, what lifestyle, as far as lifestyle, you know, or life stage, you know, I hear young folks with kids doing the revocable trust very early. And then I guess as you age in life and you see yourself heading towards nursing homes and stuff like that, possibly.
Yeah, well, it used to be. Yeah, it used to be. People would create a revocable trust for nursing homes because then they wouldn't own the assets. But now there's a 5-year look back period of disqualification from Medicaid benefits. So there's a look back period. We can discuss that too if you like. All right, Ron, you get the star for the best question so far today.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
All right,
Joe.
All right. Thank you.
You're a great service to our community.
Well, thank you. I look forward to seeing you. All right, let's go to Mary in St. Cloud.
Hi. I have a question that for my friend.
Mary, I can hear you fine, and you're coming across on the air fine. I'm sorry you have static on your end, but it's not. You're sounding great.
Her mother died about 10 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel that this is a bad deal with the attorney that her mother had. Her younger sister had power of attorney. With no document at all, her sister claims that mother wanted her to have control over my friend's inheritance,
mm-hmm,
and to dole out the money. You know, my friend is of sound mind. She holds a full-time job. She has a 19-year-old autistic son,
mm-hmm,
that she looks after and trying to do her best for his education and maybe a job find or something. And she has health issues, but she still tries to tough it through and work her full week. And they put my friend's money in her mother's account, who has been deceased 10 months.
Hmm.
Now that power of attorney is gone when mother died.
Yeah,
right?
Power of attorney is void upon death. And verbal does not work in estate planning upon death. I mean, what somebody said while they were living does not work as an adequate estate plan or will or a trust or anything. And
well, I wasn't here when this all came down.
Yeah.
Because she was living in her mother's house, so she had to get out. And she took most of her inheritance and bought a double-wide home in a park that she had to pay lot rent.
Okay. So
and
you said she took most of her inheritance. So how did she get this inheritance? Was it jointly held with mom?
Yeah. Well, it was on mother's request. The house was supposed to have been sold and divided between the two sisters.
Yeah, but you said there was nothing in writing.
Oh, that was in writing with the attorney. But what was not in the writing was sister gets to dictate what my friend gets to use that money for.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. So what document are we talking about here?
Well, I'm talking about this younger sister that is trying to rule over.
Yeah, but you said first you said there were no. I thought you said there was no will or anything. But then you said there was a document. So what document are we talking about?
Well, there was a will. The will was to sell the property and split it 50-50. What the younger sister is saying, mother wanted me to run Lisa's life and say what she can buy and what she can't buy and that what she uses the money for.
Okay. Well, the will would have had to have language that the one that said that was in control and distributed the money to her sister in her sole discretion. If the will just says 50-50, then she has no control, and the one that's being controlled should have an attorney to deal with or help her deal with it.
Yeah, well, she can't afford that. She's making ends meet, and I've set her up a budget. And I talked with her mom, and
hold on. If she's got half of the money sitting there in an inheritance, she could get an attorney that would agree to just get paid when that attorney could get that money freed up for her.
Yeah, well, my guess is for what I heard that they got, I don't think she would have more than maybe $10,000 in there.
Okay, so she hires an attorney to release the $10,000, and she pays the attorney, you know, $250 or $500 or something to help her get the money.
Okay.
All right.
Now, for her to get into this mobile home park, sister had to put her name on the agreement to make the lot payment,
mm-hmm.
because my friend had, which to me was totally legal, was evicted from this apartment, and her neighbor told her that the day after they moved people in without even cleaning the apartment. They just let people move in.
Right.
So, I mean, it kind of was a fishy deal there. And she had paid the rent for 2 weeks, and then she went in the middle of the month, paid the last 2 weeks on Friday, and they come back on Tuesday and gave her back her check, and she couldn't understand that.
Yeah.
It was all Lisa, you're in for a bad deal.
John, I tell your friend she needs an attorney. Tell her she needs an attorney to help her. So
she's got to find an attorney. And would she have any recourse to go back on this attorney for allowing this to happen? And the money should not have been in mother's account.
I don't know. I think that's too many facts unknown to be able to answer that question to give you a good answer.
I
so.
See.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I tried to tell her to get an attorney, but she's like, I ain't got the money.
Well, so, she's going to continue to be out there in St. Cloud. She's going to still be in a cloud if she doesn't get an attorney to help her get out of the cloud.
Yeah, all right. I understand. Okay.
All
thank
right.
you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to Joanne in Largo. Hey, Joanne.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi. How are you? I was wondering, if you live with a fella for 25 years and then he passes away, are you entitled to any of his estate, even though he has irrevocable trust in his son's name and you are not mentioned in the will?
You want the simple answer?
Yes.
No.
No. Okay.
Okay, but let me explain a little bit. There's no common law marriage in Florida. So living together with someone for 25 years gives you absolutely no right to part of their estate.
Is this the way it is all throughout the United States, or do different states have different
There are a few states. I looked this up. Actually, a pastor called me not too long ago and asked me about North Carolina, the common law laws there. So I was able to look it up real quick and give him an answer there, too. But there are, so the answer there is no also. And it's no in Florida. If you Googled which states allow common law marriage, you'll find a list. I think I remember six or seven states that have still have common law marriage rules. But in Florida, the answer would be no.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, sorry to give you a bad answer. I mean, for you, it's a bad answer, but that's the answer, so you don't have to worry about it anymore.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Now, if you're with someone a long time and you want to take care of them, you remember them in your will, or you have a joint account with them, or you name them as a beneficiary. I mean, there's ways to take care of a person that you love or want to leave something to. Or both. But if they're omitted entirely from all your documents, then they're not going to get anything. Let's go to Jack in St. Pete. Hey, Jack.
Yeah, hi.
What can we do for you, sir? You're on the air.
Well, I was recently served a garnishment for an old debt, a credit card debt from 1998, and I have a hearing on Monday. I'm just wondering what do I need to bring, what kind of questions should I ask, and so forth.
Oh. All right, so you have a hearing on my... Now, this is a garnishment. This is from a judgment from another state?
Yes.
Okay.
And they have frozen my bank account.
Did you call me a few weeks ago and I gave you another attorney to talk to?
No.
Oh, this sounds familiar. Okay. What time is your hearing on Monday?
10 a.m.
Yeah. Well, I would try to find an attorney, but it might be too late for a 10 o'clock Monday morning hearing. I think your only defense would possibly be, Your Honor, they don't have a judgment against me in Florida. The judgment is from the other state, right. Correct?
That was incurred in Florida.
Oh, the debt was incurred in Florida. So they have a judgment against you in Florida?
I think so. I mean, I'm not that great at reading through legal mumbo jumbo, but I think that's the case.
And what are they trying to garnish a paycheck? Are they trying to garnish a paycheck?
Well, and that's the other thing. I have filed a claim of exemption because I'm on unemployment.
Okay. All right. So
I think they want to take the money that's in my account for starters, and then I think they want my paychecks after that.
All right. Are you head of a household?
Yes.
Is it just you in the household, or are there other people that depend upon you?
My wife.
All right. So they're trying to take all of your money?
Well, they have frozen my bank account, so yeah.
Well, I don't know. You see, you should have an attorney, so I don't know. I think if I were you, I would go in and ask the judge for a continuance. Tell them you are head of a household. You have a wife depends upon you. You're not employed. Right. And, you know, unless the judge is going to dismiss the case, you'd like a continuance to get an attorney to help you establish what your rights are.
I see. What about if I can't afford an attorney? Is it advisable to
the St. Petersburg, the St. Petersburg Bar Association has a pro bono element to it. You could tell the judge that, you know, if you can call the St. Petersburg Bar Association at 9 o'clock Monday morning, you could tell the judge you're working on getting representation for this and you're asking for a continuance, that you've called the St. Petersburg Bar Association hoping for a pro bono attorney to help you with the matter. But you can be polite to the judge and tell him you're head of a household, you're married, this judgment, how long ago was the judgment?
February 11th.
Of this year? This year? Okay.
Yep.
Well, I would plead my case, ask for a continuance, tell them you would need a pro bono attorney to help you with this, and you're head of a household, and your wife depends upon you, and this would be crippling if they were able to take all of your money all at one time and just see what the judge says. I don't know what else to tell you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's been very helpful.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Michael in Tampa.
Yes, before I get to my question, Joe, I have a comment on one of your previous callers that talked about the person they were living with. You know, you need to really have an entire show on that, because I know three couples, older couples, that are living together, and they just assume if that other person passes that what they have will go to them. But I think people will be surprised that relatives they've never even known will come out of the woodwork.
Mark Twain said you never know a person to share an inheritance with them.
My question.
Yeah, but that's true. You know, if a couple lives together, they can own things jointly. Or they could have a will. If one of them owns a house, they could have a will that gives the other one a life estate the right to live there. I mean, there are simple things you can do to help one another if you're with somebody.
Well, it's all before the fact, and I think people are just enjoying life sometimes. We're in a cultural different situation now, and people are taking things very casually. My question is, I was in a car accident last month in a borrowed vehicle. They've asked me not to report it. It was very minor, but I am having some neck issues. Can I still contact their insurance company and go through that, or if they say no, it is no?
Well, if you're injured, I would definitely try to get representation. Because, you know, a neck injury over a period of time is just going to cause you pain the rest of your life unless you, you know, possibly do some things to correct it or get it fixed.
So you do have the right to contact an insurance company, even if the owner of the vehicle says don't.
Yeah, you can demand they give you their insurance information, actually.
I see.
Now, do you have your own car insurance?
No, I do not.
All right. And was another car involved?
There was another car involved, but it was a hit and run. It wasn't really anything serious, but they did take off afterwards. So, yeah, $2,000 worth of damage to the vehicle, which I paid for since I was borrowing the car. So,
yeah, you can tell your friend you're very, very sorry, but you know you need to report this. You need to get medical help.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. Might have time. Oh, we do. There's Dan in St. Petersburg. Hey, Dan. Dan, are you there?
Oh, hi. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Just a question of curiosity more than anything else. I understand in the state of Florida, you have to have consent to record a conversation.
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes when you make phone calls, there's always this intro. It says this phone call may be recorded. If you stay on the line, are you consenting, or are you not?
Well, I'd say you have your warning as being, and it usually says for business purposes, quality improvement purposes. It gives you a little reason. So basically, I think if you're staying on the line, you're consenting to it. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Joe. Have a good day, buddy.
All right. Thank you. So I guess you could say, well, no, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to allow it to be taped and then call back and ask for the only thing you say is I want to talk to a person that's not being taped. You could request that. Let's go to John and Osprey.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, John.
Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Yeah. You're a great service to us all.
Thank you.
February 20th of last year, the Timms versus the state of Indiana case was in violation of the Eighth Amendment, and the Florida Supreme Court by 9-0 ruled that the cities and counties do not have all these outrageous fines. They were threatening to fine me for my car parked without on my private property that did not have a license plate, and I had to inform them that they can't pull that crap anymore. So I don't know how do they where do they get off trying to get license fees out of a car that's not driven?
Yeah,
parked on private property.
Good question. I don't know if I have an answer for that. Because you know you can maybe classify it as undrivable or something, but you want to keep it. John, I only have about a minute left. I need to do a close here. So if you want to call me off the air, I'd be glad to talk to you about it.
I'd call you anytime during the daytime.
Sure, during the week would be great. Okay, thanks. I'll give out all my contact information right now. All right, thank you for listening.
So
thank you.
Have a blessed weekend.
You too. Thank you for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you'd like to contact our offices, we don't charge anything for that first appointment. Be more than glad to help you. Our toll-free office number, we review documents and make recommendations to you if need be. Our toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you'd like our free estate planning poster sheet, or if you'd like to make an appointment, either one of those, estate planning poster sheets, a large sheet about estate planning, you think about estate planning, I think it'd be very helpful to you. Again, our toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. If you want to email me, it's simply Joe, J-O-E, @attypip.com, Joe@attypip.com. My text number, 727-667-3967. Hey, you have a great weekend. So long.